this is. We ought to be honest with each other. A Star Wars Episode 7 The Force Awakens fanfic, written by Cognomen and read by Rena Jenkins. This story is rated PG-13 and contains the pairing Poe Dameron, Finn Rey, with additional tags for animal transformation, were-creatures, Otter Poe, mostly fluff, nudity, post-movie. For a prompt about how Poe is a were-creature and loses his clothes, from TFA Kink. This hasn't happened to Poe since he was much younger. Since, at puberty, he'd learned to control it, like all his subspecies. It was a genetic variance passed on through a line, a survival adaptation that had been programmed in sometime long ago, when his father's ancestors had faced extinction. Of course, in his youth, it had been very hard to see just what use it was to turn into an aquatic mammal when one lived primarily on a jungle planet, but the device in his genetic code seemed to predate galactic travel. Besides, for all other intents and purposes, he was human. And while it was very helpful to have webbed feet, a long, sleek body, sharp teeth, and water-repellent fur from the tops of his small round ears to the tips of his toes, set at the end of short, powerful limbs, when one was, say, drowning, as now, it was far less helpful when one was piloting an X-Wing in cold, airless space. Put simply, since joining first the New Republic and then the Resistance, Poe has had no use for this form. That is, until now. Until he finds himself plunged into slimy, murky water on a strange planet, sinking like a stone in all of his flight gear after fleeing the sight of a spectacular don't-say-crash landing on some faraway planet. He doesn't know how deep he's gotten, or where the surface is, or how far he was thrown from the water's edge. Instinct takes over, and the transformation overcomes him, changing his body. It doesn't hurt, not quite, but it feels like stretching just a little too hard. Like lifting your arms over your head just a little too far, and pushing the curve of your spine to a fraction past comfortable. Then he slips free of his clothes, lithe and buoyant, body too slim and limbs too squat to hold the flight suit on. He doesn't stay to watch it sink, instead cupping the water with broad webbed paws and going in the direction he can feel the air in his lungs pulling him. It feels urgent. Not quite to bursting, but he wants fresh air, wants to take a breath, hopes after paddling what seems like a very long time that his instincts are right, not jogged by going unused too long or shaken by the crash. Then light begins to penetrate, and he can hear, somewhere, Finn screaming for him. His round head breaks the surface, and the air feels warmer than the water. Tastes like murky swamp when he gasps it in. There's some algae on the surface that coats him unpleasantly, sticking to his fur. Finn screams his name again. Poe turns, eyes on level with the water, and looks for him. In retrospect, when Poe climbs all the way out of the water coated in algae, a nearly man-sized sea creature from the depths, dripping and sleek and probably grinning, he tends to grin fairly uncontrollably after he's been in life-threatening danger, and full of enthusiasm for his partner, there was a point in their relationship before this point when Poe should have mentioned this. Finn just screams this time, aiming his blaster. No, it's really me, Poe assures him, for the 12th time. Can we discuss this another time? Where are your clothes? Finn demands. His eyes are wide, wild.
Probably at the bottom of the lake, Poe gestures.
The sound of blaster fire is very near now.
Are you going to change back into that thing? Finn asks. And go get them?
Poe looks down at himself.
Not even his boxers had survived the swim.
He looks back at the algae-covered and stinking surface of the water.
No way in all the galaxy.
Nope, he says cheerfully. And what do you mean, that thing? I think I'm pretty cute either way.
Cute? Have you seen the size of your teeth?
It's not the worst reaction he could be getting, he supposes. And given time to calm down, to examine the situation without stress hitting him from all angles, Poe knows Finn will feel more curiosity than threat. The thought of strong, dark fingers scratching the fur just behind his ears. Well, now, Poe is getting off track and the situation isn't getting any better.
Well, I think it's pretty safe to say we found a First Order outpost out here, Poe says,
trying to steer them back toward a useful topic of conversation. Don't you think we should focus on finding your pants? A crashing in the undergrowth nearby, at the edge of the lake, suggests an immediate approaching threat. Poe yanks the blaster out of the holster at Finn's hip, trusting Finn to defend himself with the plasma rifle he was carrying.
It's drafty, sure, but at least it's dark.
Maybe the stormtroopers won't laugh too hard at Poe's exposed, position, if he kills a few before they figure it out. Instead, first a 7-foot-tall creature that's even hairier than Poe in his alternate form, and a slight girl in tan robes bursts into the clearing at the edge of the lake, going full tilt.
The rescue party.
Of course. Do you really? Ray demands immediately, looking faintly out of breath, beautiful like always, and angry all at the same time. In one hand, she has a lightsaber. In the other, raised to keep the muzzle pointed safely at the sky, is the blaster Han Solo had given her. Think that now is the appropriate time for... Finn starts protesting before she can even finish.
It's not that!
Finn what? She starts to ask.
I know what it looks like, Finn continues, and it isn't that at all.
Poe can't even bother to be embarrassed. The sounds of pursuit behind their rescue party are fairly alarmingly close. So what were you doing out here naked?
Only he is naked, Finn points out.
Very naked, Poe agrees, and very willing to find someplace to retreat to before... Neither pays any attention to him. Look, I know you two love a thrill, Ray says, sounding exasperated. Don't think I don't know what happened in the pilot seat of my ship, but this... Don't you think this is...
It's not... We weren't... It's just that...
Tell her, Poe. Finn says. Then, before Poe can do anything of the sort, he turned into a big scary monster. Poe can feel his expression turning to hurt and dignity, and he turns his palms up toward Finn in disbelief.
Scary?
He was in the lake. I thought he was going to drown, and then he came out as a... It's not scary, Poe protests.
Maybe not scary.
Finn agrees, somewhat reluctantly. Look, Poe says, I'll show everybody everything that they haven't already seen of mine, and at this exact moment, that isn't much, whenever they want, when we are all safe and out of here. Later, he thinks, bolting naked through the thick forest undergrowth, and then again with his bare ass sticking uncomfortably to the pilot seat of another stolen TIE fighter. That maybe he should make sure none of them have any more surprising secrets. Who knew what a good long show-and-tell session might reveal between the three of them? The end. This is Pet Rock, a Star Wars Episode 7 The Force Awakens fanfic written by Cognomen and read by Rena Jenkins. The story is rated PG and contains the pairing Poe Dameron-Finn and Poe Dameron-Finn-Rey, with additional tags for were-creatures, animal transformation, otter Poe. Author's notes. Someone wanted to know if Poe had a favorite rock he carried with him. The answer is yes, but sometimes he lets his favorite people carry it instead. The third time that Finn finds the rock, the same rock? What the hell? Slipped deep into one of the pockets on his combat pants. He figures it must be deliberate. It's perfectly smooth on all the edges. Flat, nearly round. A river stone, he thinks, turning it over in his hand. Faintly pinkish, with striations of white running in thin veins over the surface. It fits perfectly in his palm, under his closed fingers. He's seen it before. The first time he had been confused. Had the laundry mixed up? Had he picked it up somewhere? Finn remembers setting it down on the console of the transport ship and leaving it, thinking it would distract him in battle. The second time it had turned up in his pocket, he figured someone must have seen him leave it and thought he'd like it back. He'd left it in his quarters on the table. This time, how was it here? He knows the last time he'd seen it, it was slithering back and forth through Poe's fingers, mesmerizing, a soothing motion of smooth, cool surface over warm, work rough skin. Now, still warm in Finn's hand, he has a pretty good idea how it got into his pocket. He tucks it back in without saying anything, and it stays there, a smooth reminder that brushes him when he moves, reminding him that someone's waiting who'd like to have him back. When the mission is a success, the Resistance has their fair share of those, but they're pressing an advantage while they have it, before the First Order can fully regather itself, fall back to the secure positions he knows they have. Finn returns home to the new base planet, with the stone curled in his hand. Poe's quarters, not quite adjacent to, but close enough to Finn's own, are empty. He'd seen the T-790 down in the flight yard, and BB-8 greets him with a cheerful beep when he leans into the empty space. "Hey, BB-8, Finn says, smiling. "Where's Poe at?" His droid is coming along, but it's still not very good. BB-8 trills an ascending beep that ends with water. Finn's pretty sure it's water. Or else it's beer, but he'd bet it's water. Poe's been slipping off now pretty often, and Finn thinks he's figured it out. It all started with that mishap they'd had, that thing coming out of the water. Finn steals himself. He's gotta face this sometime in good light and good faith. It's just part of who Poe is, and if he'd hidden it for that long, it probably felt good to let loose a little. He was still careful about letting anyone know, and that feels a little special to Finn, that he has a secret he keeps with Rey and Poe and no one else. He takes the seldom-used trail up to the freezing cold mountain pools in the range that shelter the base. The water's normally too cold to even consider a swim, but Poe, when changed, has dense fur. Brown, shiny fur on top, and cream cheeks and belly. Finn's never seen anything like it, but he's been out into the universe long enough to know that for a day to go by where he doesn't see at least one thing he's never seen, he'd have to stay home all day and not pay any attention to the transmissions. He finds Rey sitting up on a rock that surveys the whole pool. The view is beautiful, but her eyes are closed. She's doing Jedi things. Finn sits down next to her and looks at the water. For a long moment, the surface is completely still. "Hello, Finn," Rey says, without opening her eyes. She smiles. He smiles back, even if she can't see it. "Is he a..." Finn asks, sneaking his hand out. He can still feel the impression of the flat stone on his fingertips. "Changed?" She nods. Once. Up, down. "Do you agree it's pretty scary?" Finn asks. She opens one eye and squints at him with it. "It's just Poe in a different package," she says. "I don't think even if he could transform into a rancor, he'd be all that capable of being scary. Unless he was behind the controls of an X-Wing." Finn looks down at the water again. "I guess I really just didn't expect it," It's really different. He's starting to worry. Just a little, just faintly, that he can't see Poe at all, starting to check the edges of the shoreline for signs of the big, streamlined shape, when it explodes out of the water into a completely ridiculous, squiggling line of muscle and short, flailing limbs that still somehow manages to be graceful and impressive until the bulk of the Poe creature hits the bank in a run, utters a massive, self-surprised chirp that resonates through his whole tubular body, and then sneezes a massive cloud of water vapor out. Scary, Ray says in a dry tone, and closes both her eyes again. Poe looks up the bank to where Ray is sitting, small round ears making a slow gesture. And Finn has to admit it doesn't look all that scary when he realizes that the preferred method of ambulation when in strange water creature form seems to be a frenzied, almost sidelong hopping bounce that looks completely ridiculous and yet so jubilantly alive that it has to be fun. Later, when Poe is Poe again, and they're stretched out on the couch in Poe's quarters with a towel slung around Poe's shoulders to keep his sopping hair from dripping too profusely on the couch, Finn offers him back the stone. Poe works it over his deft fingers, explaining. I guess I carry it everywhere. It's just lucky. I didn't really think about it when I started carrying it around, you know? I just found it at the bottom of the river when I was little. You know, when I changed more often. And I like to have it. But I felt pretty lucky since you busted me off that Star Destroyer anyway. I thought I'd share the luck. Finn leans down and presses a kiss to Poe's forehead, grateful. So I guess you started to get more practice in it? Finn asks, carefully. Yeah, Poe says. Feels good to swim. I forgot all about that. He rubs the towel absently against his ear, half sprawled as he is over Finn's lap. Poe's dark eyes are seas for the moment, vast and depthless. Then he seems to realize himself, and pulls his hand away from the space just behind his ear. Is that okay? Yeah, Finn says. Then, cautiously, I don't suppose you'd let me join you sometime? Poe's eyes are very bright and very present when he nods enthusiastic agreement. And Finn supposes he's lucky Poe doesn't drag him to the pool right now. The end. This is Going Along Swimmingly, a Star Wars Episode 7 The Force Awakens fanfic, written by Cognomen and read by Rena Jenkins. This story is rated PG-13 and contains the pairing Poe Dameron Finn Rey, with discussion of past Poe Dameron Ben Solo. With additional tags for Otter Poe, Skinny Dipping, mentions of Ben Solo. Ray senses his hesitation immediately when she asks. An unexpected reserve that comes attached to guilt and aversion. Poe doesn't usually harbor any major regrets. He's too kind to regret his words, and too gregarious and confident to regret his actions or inactions. This sudden, complicated emotion from the usually incomplex Poe surprises her. It also makes her intensely curious. What is it? She asks, leaning forward on the bunk. His bunk, where she so often sits in deep conversation with him or Finn or both. Well, I just... Poe stalls. Now she has to know. I'm just not sure, Poe says. His mind closes to Ray, just a little, but for the first time since they'd agreed, all three of them, to be open with each other. She measures him visually, then, careful not to press with the force. Ray kicks her heels a little against the baseboard of the bed, for no reason other than for the motion, and considers the answer. especially how she can ask why without sounding like an overcurious child making a demand. All she'd asked was to share the experience of transformation with him. Ray was fascinated by the process, and she wanted to know more about it, about how it felt and if it changed how he resonated with the Force. After all, animals felt it differently, being more attuned to listening. Not that she thinks Poe becomes an animal. Clearly, he retains all his self when changed. Enough to recognize friend from foe, to behave himself, even in the full depth of play, and keep from even unintentionally hurting anyone. It was just a matter of curiosity, an experience she wanted to understand. He'd said, after Rey returned from the Jedi Temple with Luke, that she could always ask about anything. Well, she reminds herself, that wasn't a promise that he would always answer. Besides, it's clear that Poe's considering it, and Rey has learned over the course of their friendship that Poe is usually the best at talking himself into things, without any need for help from Finn or Rey. I'm not ready for you to see some of the things tied into this, Poe says at last. Instead of his usual attitude of play, treating the whole idea like a silly game, Poe is hiding something beneath it that Rey can finally see. Maybe that's why he's held it at bay for so long, minimizing that part of himself while making other excuses. All right, she says, kicking her heels again. But if you're ever ready, I'll still be interested. Not just because it was an article of curiosity now, but because maybe Poe, who rarely asked for anything but the chance to be with them, supporting, might need to know he doesn't have to face it alone. She considers the concept of secrets between them. When, as time passes and summer finds its way to Dakar again, and Poe, and she, and Finn, to be fair, slip off more often to the lake up in the mountains. Poe only changes for them. If anyone else joins them, he swims the normal way, or slips quietly away at the first opportunity. Rey admits that she hadn't thought of modesty as the reason, even though they all swim naked. It's practical, and it feels like spitting in the eye of the First Order to let their guards down so completely between missions and training. Today, it's just them. Poe's transformation is a quick thing, instinctive. He hasn't let her feel it with him yet, but he has described it for her. That once the decision was made, the reflex triggered. Like deciding to take a deep breath, the rest is automatic. Like a diving reflex. That happenstance that changes heart rate and breath patterns when cold water struck her face. Rey had discovered it and reveled in it, sometimes coming down to the lake just to dive and feel the changes come over her body. This much cold water still seems like a luxury to her. It's one of her favorites, especially in the middle of a splash fight. Even if Poe's broad, flat tail gives him an unfair advantage, or a round of dunk your friend, it feels almost sinful to have so much water that they could play in it. She gets her arms around Poe's solid, squirming middle and holds him up halfway out of the water when he dares swim too close, and presents his fur-covered belly to Finn. Neither of them hesitate anymore. Like Rey has assured Finn, Poe is Poe. The shape didn't much matter. Finn takes advantage of the opportunity presented, ignoring the playfully protesting and indignant chirps, and tickles the exposed belly mercilessly. You play the game, you pay the price, Rey grunts, straining to keep hold of Poe while he wriggles and slips wetly in her arms, fur against bare skin. It was a pure, joyful test of strength, like catching a writhing, slippery eel in her bare hands and keeping it without hurting it. For a moment, There's such an elated unity to their thoughts, a feeling of connection, physical and also beyond that, as Poe and Rey test each other in play, pressing their limits like they do so often in the cockpit. The connection deepens. A memory brushes up against Rey's mind, a distant one. One face, but two are present and the color of fear clouding over. Pain. One emotion is very old. A scar, healed over and as close to whole as it will ever be again. The other, a new, fresh wound. As new, Rey thinks, as the scar on Poe's cheek. She lets go of his suddenly still form, and the connection breaks. Poe slips away into the water, leaving her and Finn to catch their breath while he dives deep.
"You think he's ticklish like that all the time?"
Finn asks her, after a moment of awkward silence.
"I wouldn't bet against it," she says, knowing full well that she and Finn will find out the next time all three of them have a chance. It so happens that Poe is ticklish.
She waits until she can catch him alone to ask. Maybe Finn knows already, but if not, there's probably a reason. Maybe it's just something he doesn't talk about. Maybe, like when Kylo Ren reached into her mind, these thoughts and memories had an aversion to them. Like the taste of an old damp rag on the tongue. Unpleasant. But she also senses that it's stopping Poe up. Instead of spitting out the rag, he's holding it in his mouth.
"It's okay that you knew each other as kids," she says, plopping down next to Poe's legs, where they protrude from underneath his black and orange X-wing.
She pulls his toolbox a little closer, ready to hand him what he needs next. Poe only jumps a little. The thump of impact is small.
"How'd you know what I was thinking about?"
"I didn't," Rey admits. She's talking to the patched and repainted side of the ship.
He is not coming out from the undercarriage.
"It's just what I was thinking about." Poe makes a noise of assent. Rey waits until the silence draws more out of him.
"I more than knew him," Poe admits.
He passes a tool to Rey, who trades him for his next request. "Spinner. Everybody knew Ben Solo. Everyone knew Leia Organa and Han Solo. For a little while, anyway." He pauses to gather his thoughts and work on a stubborn bolt.
"We were friends," Poe says, "at first. We only saw each other once in a while, but he was a good kid. A smart kid. In fact, better behaved than I was a lot of the time."
"Were you bad?" Rey asks, smiling at the thought.
She had been.
"I was wild," Poe says, with some pride. "And I couldn't always control when I changed. It could be embarrassing, but Ben never cared. I guess that's common, the frequent transformations when you're a kid. That, or my dad just said that to make me feel better."
Rey listens, hearing the memories. He is digging through the depths of them like the depths of the X-Wing, holding them up to the light. "After a while, it was more than friends. For Ben, I could ignore anything. After all, he ignored what I was," Poe says. "Maybe I saw that darkness start to form, but he was Ben Solo. A Jedi, a hero from a family of heroes. And he liked me."
Rey has gotten pretty good at language from her time on Jakku, out of necessity. She listens as much to how people build sentences as the words used to construct them, paying attention to the structure to keep the context.
"Anyway," Poe says, his voice tight and dry.
He hands her back the spanner and pulls a panel out of the service hatch he's working in carefully. The last time we saw each other, I had control. Finally, I only changed when I wanted to. Then the story stalls. Poe sighs. He drains used dark grease out of the engine, letting it pour like thick dark blood onto a pan for disposal. I guess you saw the rest, Poe says. I'm not entirely sure what I saw, Ray says. I'd like to hear it in your words. He proved to me that control is an illusion, Poe says. He takes the spanner back from Ray and begins restoring the panel interior. He forced a change, Ray realizes. He did. He understood the mechanism. He was curious, too, Poe says. So we'd done it together a few times, and then, well, it didn't bother me in the instant as much as it did in the aftermath. The statement is laden with a peculiar and heavy guilt. Ray reaches out, carefully, and rests her hand on the knee of his grease-stained coveralls. Poe actually pushes into the touch, as if to reassure her as well. It's not that I don't trust you, Poe says. But then he stops. Ray can almost feel him struggling to make a decision, to find the enlightenment that's so close to him. Ray holds quiet. Both her past and her Jedi training have taught her the value in this. You know what? He says, sliding abruptly out from under the ship on the dolly he's laying on. His hair is a wreck, his face smudged with grease and sweat. He's still handsome, especially looking so determined. What? Ray asks, taking in his sudden, reckless grin. Just slightly nervous, as it always is before he does something that other people might tell him is a bad idea. I'm not going to let him make my decisions, Poe decides. Because you have control? Poe nods. He hoists himself off the dolly. Where are you going? Ray asks. Before I change my mind or talk myself out of it, Poe tells her. Besides, I could use a rinse. Don't forget to replace that grease before you fly it again, Ray says, getting up. I'm sure my friends will remind me, Poe says, grinning as he leads the way up the path to the lake. Ray makes a note to tell BB-8. After Poe shows her his transformation through his own eyes. The end.